journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
Hey, hey.
I think I'll turn the backside of this microphone off so you only hear one side.
Greetings and welcome to, once again, Journeys with JP. I just heard an advert on Studio A for this show to be with a different name on Tuesdays, which is, you know, it's like about a year out of date now. So, Mike, if you're hearing, or anybody on the staff, check out that jingle. It just plays at the end of Sean's show, and it's not correct. Anyway, this is Journeys with JP, myself, and tonight, my guest, my very special guest, and one of my favorite guests, is Shari Edwards, sound healer, visionary, and general savior of mankind, if anybody would bother to listen to her. And I'm forcing you to listen to her right now, so we're going to get some data drilled in. Welcome, Shari. How are you, my dear?
I am cold. That's such a wonderful introduction. We are 7 below 0 here. I'm just trying to stay warm.
Well, is there a so there's no frequency you can give yourself that makes you warm?
Actually, there is, and we have used it with orchards, but it begins to crumble the walls, and so it's not something you'd want to use lightly.
All right. Well, that's interesting. That's a very interesting thing. Because, of course, you know, when you're in the infrared, and you look at this, the band of frequencies that actually make you feel the warmth from a fire, it's only a very narrow band that is actually what you're feeling, and it's around 660 or something. It's like the orange heat of things. And all the rest is, you know, we don't feel much. So, that's why they make these LED heaters that run on the single frequency. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's good to know.
You can, well, here's the thing I've been looking at for the last few years as well, is this frequency of light at 660 nanometers, and I can probably find out what frequency that is. What note that may be with a bit of calculation, but essentially it's the frequency of a kind of orangey red, and they discovered that's the frequency that our nervous system pulses at. It's like the carrier.
If it's orange red, it's going to be C sharp or G.
Mm-hmm.
One or the other.
So yeah, so if it's around there, I haven't got the. I'm sure somebody in the chat room could let us know what frequency 660 nanometers is in hertz, and we can maybe work it out from there. Or if they could go all the way and just tell us what note that might be. But anyway, yeah, so that frequency is used at acupuncture points, and it's totally non-placebo because it works on horses and dogs. And you can get a little light, and the veterinary suppliers sell them, and they call them photonic acupuncture. And it's basically, you can get a high-powered LED that is what that is, and use it. But what I've been thinking about, and I've actually never, I haven't got the circuitry together, I haven't had enough time to put all my ideas into action, but I'm sure one day they will. But is to combine these two techniques of what you do by finding the signature sound of somebody and then modulating a light beam at that frequency straight into their noodle.
Well, remember that you have to, we talked about this once on the show before, that you have to consider brain dominance, because left and right brained people see color differently. So if you're looking at a orange-red light, that's a C-sharp to probably a right-brain person, but maybe it's a G. The opposite for the left brain person, remember you take the frequency and multiply it by the square root of 2, and that will give you the complementary color. That's one of the things that happens to people who are using color therapy. They don't remember to check on the person's brain dominance, and they may just be negating what they're giving somebody by giving them sound and light together. So if they would just test somebody, even if it was just their pulse, if it's going to race their pulse more than 6 or 8 beats, that's probably a negative combination. But if it relaxes them, if that's your intention, then that's probably a good combination.
So that's what we call the tritone interval. It's 3 whole tones, 6 semitones, which doesn't fit in with our regular diatonic scale. In fact, they used to call it the devil's interval. It sounds discordant at certain times. But it's been very interesting. A few days ago, a couple of friends of mine come around. They're a couple, and they're processing. They process a lot, and they're, you know, consciously processing things. And I was just, I just had my guitar with me, and I was listening to one of them talk, and I was just finding out what note she was speaking on, you know, just finding that. And then I listened to him, and what notes he was speaking on. And what I found is that although they were connected on a note, one was a major pentatonic scale and one was a minor pentatonic scale.
That happens a lot.
Interesting, yeah. Isn't it? They were different. They're actually different frequencies, but because they could meet on their pentatonic, but the thing is that it put her into major. Like, so she's all active, and it puts him into minor, and that makes him passive. And this is, they've always had a trouble with this, you know, who's dominant. It was a fascinating discovery, you know. And I said together, well, if you combine, major and minor, that's what the blues is. And they go, oh, yeah.
I think that's the way our DNA is built, and we just go right along with it in our relationships. We did studies many moons ago about women who'd go right back to somebody who just beat the crap out of them, and usually that person had some kind of matching or missing note that they needed. And if we could give it to them with music, then they didn't go back as readily. But there's something missing. Somehow bad world, bad sex, bad thoughts, bad food, bad water, bad something, knocked some frequency out of them that they needed. And just like you need full spectrum light, I think you need full spectrum sound. But that's just my opinion.
Oh, I totally agree. You know, people who, I always had this thing about not ever being a, what's called a monomaniac. I tried to spread my mania. The idea of doing one thing and one thing only forever, it actually fills me with a kind of dread. And a fear of, like turning to stone the idea of fixing on one frequency seems completely anathema. Now, it appears to me, to other people outside my world, that I do different, that I do the same thing all the time. You know, I'm just here all the time. But in my own world, I do a different activity every day, because I think that every day has a different frequency and a different color and a different quality of activity. And that connects in with the 7 rays. So we were talking before the show about what your studies have found and what other studies have found about the actual frequencies of the day. Do you want to share with our audience some of what you've discovered, Sharon?
Oh yeah, but I want to bring up a couple of things. First, just to, fits into what you were saying. In my quest to do things different every day and to grow and be a more creative person, I went to this psychic, and this was in the 70s, And I said to him, I am just growing by leaps and bounds, and I'm leaving my husband behind because he's not interested in any of this or growing or being different or anything. And it concerns me that I'm going to outgrow him. And this very wise person said, and what makes you think he has to grow? So it was my problem. It was my problem, and I should leave him alone if he didn't want to grow or do anything.
Exactly, because exactly.
He was probably here for stability for the rest of us. But here's another very interesting piece of information. When you look at the diatonic scale, and if you see the note of C as like 128, and look at what the F sharp at, maybe 186 or something. I'll do it by brainwave multiples so we can do it quickly in our head. You would look at it as the difference between the note of C is 16 and the note that we call F sharp would be 24 cycles per second for your brain. And when you look at those mathematically, their relationship is 666.
How do you mean? In terms of two-thirds?
You divide it down. 16 divided by 24 equals 6666. So that's one of the things you were talking about, that they weren't allowed to make music in that scale because it was kind of discordant and that kind of thing. Penelope Gook, G-O-U-K, has written a lot about this devil's triad kind of thing. And then we went on to a different scale that is more melodic. And I think it's because of the church's interference in how you could make music this way or that way or not, or be beheaded if you'd like, that those relationships of 666 that people are seem afraid of actually came from the church trying to scare people into not using those relationships, because that gives you dominion. That 1-6 relationship of those notes, when we were talking about, well, it's red, orange, so it's C sharp, and its opposite would be G. That's 6 notes away, and you're the musical person, so you can explain this, because I'm just musically ignorant. I'm just a math nut. So in looking at putting those sounds together, and even in people's voices and relationships, if they have notes that are 6 notes away, that is a growing relationship. If they have notes that are like 5 notes away or 7 notes away, then, and this is just from stuff we've looked at, then it's a relationship of comfort and pleasantry. And if it's a notes, like 3 notes away, like a C and an A, or C and a D sharp, then they are together for the good of the universe, not necessarily them as people, as a partnership.
So in terms of those people, so you basically, you've got the signature, you measure the signature sound of each person in the relationship, and the difference between those notes sound very, very, very close to things like triads and squares.
Absolutely.
I mean, is there a direct relationship between, you know, and okay, and then what is the, is it the position of the sun that determines person's frequencies, or are there other factors? I know there's this 80-20 rule.
I just think it's all the planets together at the moment of conception. And then we go back to the astrology of that. As the planets are in a certain configuration, there's a magnetic potential that comes to the Earth, and it reflects tides and moons and what's going on in our DNA and all that. And NASA and people who put satellites up there pay attention to all that stuff, and they have all the math worked out. But I think it's nothing more than the old astrology stuff that got worked out eons ago. You know, we're just back in the cycle, and people call it different things. They call it signature sounds and rays. And on our site, the soundhealthoptions.com site, we call it a keynote because it's a keynote for the day. And that was the original question before I brought in all of this relationship stuff.
Okay, so can you just go? So you were saying which are the intervals that create? So basically, two people would be attracted together. Is that? Does that? When their signature sounds are not related, is it ever possible to have a relationship? Or is it only if the signature sounds are related that any form of relationship actually work?
We can look at the keynotes, and if people want to look at what their own keynote stuff is, they can go to our site, thesoundhealthoptions.com, go to downloads. And there's something there called Nano, N-A-N-O, voice, and they can download charts and see where they are. They might be moved past that, which means they're going to turn around and help humanity. But you can also talk to this little computer program and just look at your dominant notes. I am a Cancer, so that would make my birth note a D-sharp. But my main speaking voice is an A with a D-sharp underlay. So that means, to me anyway, that I'm a right-brained person because I'm directly on that opposite side of the scale, six notes away. And you can use that. Let's see. We're doing a whole show about that, and it's free. It's a two-hour thing that's on our site where we take your birth note, and if it turns up to be squares, like all the relationships are squares, that's genetic. So you're probably there to create a new body, a new person. So all of these relationships on the wheel, and there's six major relationships. Let's say a C and an F sharp, which to us is a bass and reciprocal, and that's six notes away. And there the bass and minus one, which in this case, C and F sharp, it would be an F, and then the F-sharp, which is the reciprocal, and then the G. So those are the main relationships for growing and moving and processing more than anything else. So let's just do this by astrology, and then you can turn around and explain it to your audience in terms of music. When's your birthday?
Mine's March the 18th.
So you're a Pisces.
So I'm really up on that high B. And what was interesting is that several shows ago you measured my voice and you said, it's in that little zone there between the Pisces and the Aries is where it goes round the bend where the spectrum starts again. You kind of nailed me right there, and it's exactly corresponding with my birthday, yeah.
Okay, so if we make a circle and put B at the top of the circle, and the direct opposite is going to be F. So your life is for humanity. You like peace. You like planning. And you just said at the top of the show, you have more ideas than you can possibly deal with. Because usually those B and F people, those people between the note of B and C, which would bring it to a next octave, they are the ones that are creative and bring a lot of innovation, esoteric innovation to the planet. Things that you worry about in the past, maybe you did and you feel guilty about, are all about words that you've spoken, messages that you've provided to people. And things that you feel in the future are how you're going to be able to carry out all of your ideas. So that processing of E with the words, and this is the chart I'm trying to get people to download from Nano Voice. The E is all the words. The F is the ideas. The F sharp is finding a way to carry out the ideas. And the people that's going to help you carry out your ideas are G sharp and D. So Gemini and Sagittarius people are going to be very important to you to bring the world to your doorstep.
Which is interesting because they're at a cross. Although in the last 10 years, I've had more relationships with Gemini and Sagittarians in the last 10, 15 years than I have in the rest of my life. Interesting.
They'll drag you out and connect you to the outside world, where right now your connection is elevating the spiritual world.
That's right. I don't go out much. And in fact, that's true. The girlfriend I had who was Sagittarius, she used to drive me all over Scotland. We used to perform in a band, and she was very much a driving all around kind of person. Yes. But I'm currently with a Virgo whose birthday is exactly opposite mine.
Yeah. A Pisces with a Virgo.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you need to get your life in order?
Well, you know what you were saying before about this thing about your husband and things? There's something about getting something in order for both of us, I think. Let's put it that way. She's very Virgo. She's very Virgo. She's very finely detailed. She makes these incredibly intricate little things and beautiful little fairies and gnomes and things.
IRS agent I've ever known has been a Virgo.
Oh yes, she does like to bring me to account.
See, we could do this for people and tell them where they're going, or at least give them some peace about it. A lot of people listen to your show probably already know where they're going, but a lot of people look to outside themselves to find a place to be because they've been so disturbed by outside influence and commercials and peer pressures and oughts and shoulds, and like the Logical song that we just did a show about, the schools just try to beat out your creativity and make you be logical and linear and make you march to the same drummer that everybody else does. And I'm trying to encourage people to see their own pattern and where they want to go and what they feel comfortable with. My New Year's resolution is I'm not going to do anything that I'm uncomfortable with unless I absolutely have to. And it's changed my life already.
Well, I know, because you're a very sweet person. You're sometimes maybe a little more generous than I would have been, for instance, with people. So that's always good.
It gets me into trouble.
Of course.
My overview of the world is that I want every day to be for the benefit of all concerned. And when I see that injustice, then that's where I go to work. And my other part of this is my idea of being rich is to give away everything that I have, that I want to give away. That fills my heart to be able to do that. But some people see me soft and stupid because of that. And they'll come and hit me up for money, which I don't have it, and get very mad at me when I don't give them something they want. Like a lady came into my house and wanted my couch. And it's like, no, I saved for months for that couch. And she decided that she wasn't going to speak to me for a long time. That was okay with me. I don't want to talk to her anyway.
But yeah, exactly. You got rid of it.
Yeah, I got this reputation for giving away things and being very generous. But there are things that people who take advantage of that greed, that I don't know if that's inborn in us or what. I don't know if it's the influences from outer space you were trying to get me to talk about a minute, and we should go back to that. I don't know where this idea of entitlement comes from, that people who give you things or you can defraud people out of things, they become suckers. I had one woman who was taking a course with us, one of the professional courses, and she called me back a couple of days later. She had taken the nutrition course. She said, I just suckered somebody into buying $430 worth of vitamins. And I was like, oh my God, what kind of monster did we create here?
Oh yeah.
I just suckered somebody. You know, what about doing something that's the best for everybody concerned? If everybody on the planet did that, and maybe I'm just naive and stupid, but if everybody on the planet did, let's do what's for the benefit of all concerned. Yes, there would be people that would be left out because whatever you do is probably going to be appreciated by some people and unappreciated by others. You know, my husband said, sure, if you went outside and threw $10 in the street toward everybody with hundreds of $10 bills out there, some people would pick them up and walk away and never say a word, but a lot of people would probably complain. You know, so no matter what you do, there's going to be those naysayers. So please yourself. And I please myself by allow this to be for the betterment of all concerned. But before we go off the air here, and I just keep talking, I want to talk about a course I want to give people. And you wanted me to talk about this astrology and keynote, which I think is very akin to what we were talking about with people's voices and what people call their signature sound or their keynote, because your DNA is set to music. And based on that set to music DNA cellular communication, then we can look at your lessons. From Pythagoras and other people that at one time could hear sounds from things. I really think that's how astrology and some of these things got put together. But I had a secretary who was very interested in astrology, and she came to me and she said, Sherry, do you know that this matches 40% of the time with people's astrological notes? Like I said, you're Pisces, and so your note would be B. And I said, Sandy, you know, I don't believe in that crap. Get out of my face. Okay. And she came back the next week or so, strong lady, and said, Sherry, not only does it match 40% of the time with their direct note, it matches 40% of the time with the exact opposite. So you take your 80% statistic there, and you do what you need to do with it.
That's almost rude.
I shouldn't say it that politely, but so from there, I began to look at people's signature sounds and what they were wanting in their life. And like this little free program, this little nano voice, the notes that are missing are what people will graduate to by colors or sounds or foods or people or geographic locations. We are seeking that full spectrum sound, that full spectrum frequency in our lives. And I don't know if that means we're seeking toward a godness, toward a perfectness, toward wholeness, because I have this strange idea of God anyway, that everything in one pot and that's God, you know, and that's all, everything has a frequency, and frequency and atoms and all that are all the time trying to create a balance within themselves, even in the orbits of the atoms. They're trying to create a balance within themselves. So I just think God is some tremendous mathematician someplace, or at least some frequencyologist, if that's a word, because it's all about frequency. God is math is kind of an interesting concept that everything must balance. I truly wish that our political people would see it that way, that every crappy thing they do, they're going to have to pay for or balance in some way. It's getting a time where the U.S. is just about to overthrow its own government. So people recognize when things are not in balance. That's a lot said, isn't it?
Yeah. So where do we pick that apart?
Should I go back to the keynote?
Let's go back to keynotes, because I think one of the things that we need to establish is a scientific basis, a repeatable, measured basis of recognition that there are different frequencies that actually impinge on the Earth that are unique over days, yes, with overtones that repeat over years, with overtones that repeat over numbers of centuries, presumably. But let's talk on a simple basis to say that every day has a different frequency. What is the sort of range that we're talking about? What are the hertzes that that has been measured, and who did the measuring?
Go back a step. It's already been established. Look at the tides and how consistent they are, and moon spots, and the movements of planets. It's all very, very consistent. What hasn't been proven is the consistency and how it influences humans or plants or animals or human behaviors. So take a step back and look at some of Rupert Sheldrake's modern work about the frequency of plants, and that you change the frequency there, you expose them to during the seed opening or during those first 3 days of gestation for a plant, if you call it that. And if you give it a different frequency and bombard it, the colors will be different, the leaves will be shaped differently. So they've proven that with plants already. Now what we set out to do was to prove it with humans, that if we give you this frequency, that we could make your little finger weak or strong, or we could make your body use iron or not. And is that consistent? And yes, it is. As we were looking at this, we've been keeping track of this for about 10 years. So has NASA. So has Motorola, that put up some of those great big spy satellites. And there is a rhythm. And if it's going to influence humans, it probably will do the most influence in a range that will entrain the brain. And the brain speaks 0 to like 64 cycles per second. You've heard where they cut all this down into theta, beta, delta waves, you know, and you do different things depending on which wave you're in. If you're in theta, you're in deep sleep, and if you're in beta, you're up running.
That's right. And when you look at the numbers and you chart them, they're just basically different octaves.
Yes.
It's the same group of notes, but different octaves.
So if we're looking at this, the keynote, let's see, today is the 6th, the keynote for tomorrow, and we try to keep these ahead. This is posted on our site too, soundhealthoptions.com. So we posted a keynote. We try to do this about once a week. We did it for January 7th, and it's all about the use of potassium balance and imbalance. Like, potassium is in baked potatoes and bananas. So you intake that potassium, but your body must change it to a potassium that's good enough for humans or compatible with humans. So there are cell salts that your body creates, different kinds of potassium cell salts. And they do things like help your passage of minerals in and out the cells, sort of cell communication. So your own body's cell communication might be in stress right now, unless you were going to give yourself extra potassium or sounds. And the sounds would be A and D sharp together as a balance. And that's going to sound kind of discordant. But you're really moving your body toward getting up and doing something that it may have lost its instructions about doing. So potassium levels deal with edema, and the way you walk. If you give somebody potassium, you can almost see them walk in a different way. Most people will walk with their knee first or their foot first. You put somebody on potassium, and for some strange reason, they walk with their front of their hip joint first. And we've looked that up, and this is how women can keep their legs from swelling up, from not having enough transport of fluids in the body. So giving people these sounds do different things in their body with different muscles. It causes different ideas, like norepinephrine can make you very intuitive, and norepinephrine is a very early F. It's sort of a celery green kind of color. So we figured out all of these relationships, not only to the human body and genes and genetics, but we figured it out in terms of what's influencing you for the day, for the week, or the month. We can predict when ulcers are going to flare up, because that's the frequency. We can predict when Ebola is going to flare up. And we track all this, and we write it down for people. We call it a keynote, and we just put some optical illusions in there for people to. And by the way, I went to look at that dinosaur. That's pretty neat. Another optical illusion that you were telling me about. But when you look at all these cycles, like there's a Krebs cycle that's in stress right now, and adrenal hormones are in stress. So if you know that based on the movements of the planets and the frequencies that are coming toward us and influencing us, like the frequencies that influence the tides, if you knew that this was an adrenal hormone and you're going to be stressed out for the next 7.5 days, if you knew it was about just a frequency coming to the earth, you wouldn't be so upset. Well, I don't think you would be upset as much if you knew that was a planetary influence rather than you just feeling upset and having no reason and kind of having to find a reason.
Yeah, well, you take things personally, and you believe that somebody else has made you feel that way. And
yes.
What you're actually feeling is a vibrational influence that is impinging on you from other places. That which all the scientists say is absolutely impossible, or they used to say in their very isolative way.
Well, they're following us now. Think about this and how it would change the world. If people knew that their children, when it was time for the children to get out of the nest, begin to build up an intolerance to the vocal frequencies of the parents. They couldn't even listen to the words because they can't stand the sounds. If people knew that that's the time when that offspring should take off and be on their own because that's the biological readiness signal, there would be a lot less trauma, I think, in homes where there's teenagers. Now, I don't know that society would ever allow that to come to be, but there it is. I'll let you comment on that, and then I want to tell you something about people's tongues.
Yeah, that's a very interesting thing about the teenagers and why there's such strife and perhaps why people choose the families that they choose to incarnate into, because of those frequencies are the ones they needed to be kind of preloaded with them, in order to sort of strike out into the world with a particular angle, a vector of attack of work.
Well, I predict a great chaos coming because of us being poisoned with Fukushima and other things that really is changing our cellular communication.
This is an interesting thing. Oh, go on, sorry. You were just about to start saying. Go on. People?
People can tell when they are potassium deficient. Their tongue will feel too big for their mouth. So if you look at the side of your tongue, there'll be little scallops where the tongue is laying against the teeth. It's not supposed to be those scallops. The other things is there'll be edema in your ankles. Your ankles will seem weak. So there's ways people can look at this and then go back and find some foods with potassium in it, so this won't be such a stress. Because potassium also keeps your heart beating, keeps it very regular, keeps muscle strength. I can tell when I'm low in potassium, and I have trouble opening a jar. I don't have enough torque to open a jar. And if I go take some zinc or potassium, within 15 minutes or so, I can open that jar. So just as there are these nutrient relationships, there's frequency relationships. Think of it in terms of right now, Obamacare here in the U.S. is actively rationing insulin. And there's been several articles here in the paper. Well, what if we could create frequency insulin, and then we don't have to be dependent on the drug companies and what the government says we can have or not have? That's where I want to go, and we've been very successful.
I think, you know what you should do? Is create MP3 files of all the different medicines, like the generics, you know, aspirin, blah, blah. Each one has its own MP3 sound, and send them everywhere all over the world.
It doesn't work digitally.
MP3s don't work.
No, that's unfortunate, isn't it? Right-brained people. We had a class. I teach at the university all the time, and this one particular class was from the film department. And we were showing them how to create characters that were weak or strong or healthy or whatever through manipulation of the voice. And one of the guys came back to me and he said, we want to do this with marijuana and peyote and cocaine, and we want you with us. And I said, I can't be a part of that. And this was like in the fall, January. He sent me a copy of his bank account. He had over $1 million in his bank account from selling these CDs to people. Now, they begin to sue him and come back on me and saying, you know, you told him he could do this. No, absolutely, I did not. I would not be a part of that. But I would be a part of doing it in a slightly different way if we could figure out how to get it out there. I would like to see people get insulin, but they're going to have to be trained to do it, because you just can't have people getting insulin and because they want to kill themselves or something. There have to be some kind of rational way to do it. We're already doing studies right now with medications, and it's working. So, Obamacare, and I don't want to get political, has some good stuff to it. No cap on how much your insurance company has to spend if you get sick with cancer or whatever. You can't kick them out for some precondition. But the way they're going about it, because they wanted 39 million people, or however many, I can't remember, to be on it, and so they just kicked everybody off. I mean, it's just totally illogical. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't have enough economic help with this, and it's going to crash on itself and go down. So I should be happy it's here, because we're going to be needed. The Institute of Bioacoustic Biology, we're training people just as fast as we can to try to get this information out. This might be a good time. We'll come back to keynote. You know, there's about 500,000 vets that come back from the U.S. Army in ragged emotional pieces, and they're committing suicide about 1 hour. We had one of these wounded warriors, Melanie Barnhart, come to us and say, I know you have this project that you did with the Army. Help me get it to the people so that we can help these people not commit suicide. And we've talked to several people that have even suggested that these soldiers were programmed before they came home to commit suicide, because if there's ever an uprising, they don't want anybody trained in the use of military tactics. You know, that's a far extreme, but we have a 2-day class coming up. Before you yell at me, it's free. It's absolutely free to any veteran family member, anybody working with PTSD, or anybody going to work with PTSD. It is absolutely free to 100% of the people who want to take it. The software is included. You do have to buy a microphone, and if I had the money, I'd give you a microphone too. But our goal is to teach this course to people who go back to their community and start a community center, an outreach center, to not only the veterans, but anybody who's in stress. If you think about it, the United States, at least, and a lot of the modern countries, used to be full of self-esteem and creativity and self-actualization. And I don't know if people would agree with me, but I can see it from my perspective of being the director of this center. We're now at the bottom, striving to have decent, non-poisoned foods. People come in here that are living in their cars, and they can't get medical care, and they can't get decent food. We are back to survival mode, and it's come from lack of leadership. It's come from lack of ability to be self-responsible and take care of our own. We have forgotten how to be, a lot of us, I should say, have forgotten how to give, how to step up and give, even if it hurts. And that's what we want to do with this whole program, to give you all of that and have you go back to your community and help these guys. And if you go back and charge $10, $15, $50, I don't mind as long as you're not gouging people. But people need this information. And I will send you that flyer, PJ, if you...
Yep.
So, I feel like I'm here by myself preaching.
It's okay. So basically, and this is something that I and many of the listeners here are very interested, is the subject of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, which can range from accidental PTSD, you know, you fell down the stairs when you were a kid and nobody noticed, or you've been to war, or probably to the worst, which is having been a subject of one of the MK Ultra mind control experimental horrors that have been happened in the last 60 years. Have you worked with people with this extreme form of PTSD and alters, and being able to bring their alters back into unison?
We have, in conjunction with another therapist that is trained in emotional depletion. Also, some of the people we've worked with have implants. So we don't exactly know where the implants, you can see them in the x-rays. So we worked with that. We've worked with battered women, battered abused children, people wanting to commit suicide, people just nutty on a fruitcake sometimes, and that's an awful way to put it. But we had one girl in that was an attorney, and she was just off the wall, kind of gibberish. And her hobby was painting with lead paints with her hands. And she was totally poisoned with lead paint. So we've done all of that because we take a sample of their voice and we look at it. But what's missing with these PTSD people that we've been working with, and the Army gave us 30 people to work with and to find, we need 10 to crack the code. Well, we had 30 and we've cracked the code, and it's minerals. They are lacking the ability to use minerals, some vitamins. So we teach you to use the software, and there's two layers. There's a layer of niacin, calcium, linoleic acid, and zinc. And that's layer one, where the people are depressed and just can't get motivated. The next layer is B5, choline, magnesium, and progesterone. And those are the people who are committing suicide. And we've looked at some of these vaccinations. We're going to talk about this in this two-day class. Some of these vaccinations, they're jabbing these guys with some 10 and 20 at a time. Some of them looks like they're designed to mess up the ability to sleep. And there's a couple of articles about narcolepsy, or just going to sleep at any moment, anytime, anywhere. But you keep these guys in this hyper-alert state of war, and it wears on the adrenals. So it works with this. I think there's five that you can choose is adrenal burnout. So if we can get this 500,000 people mobilized and back on their feet, then take the next step and do it for radiation exposure, and then take the next step and do it for diabetics. So we want to train people not only to do this, but to be our instructors, the instructors of taking this information that I think came from ancient times about sound and singing and frequency and helping put people back together, although we'll identify it and we'll identify, okay, they need choline. Let's give them eggs. Let's give them music in the note of G sharp because that's where choline is. And we could put all the pieces of all the ancient stuff together and marry it to the technology of this really easy to use computer program and pass it out to everybody free. You know, Buckminster Fuller said something along the lines of, if you want to do something different, don't buck what's there, just create a better way and people will follow. So that's what we've wanted to do. Have you actually taken our courses, JP?
Any of the five? To be honest, no. I met you in 95. Probably you only had like two or three courses running then, and I was just I was making copies of a tape. That's why I was there. I couldn't afford to go on any of your courses. I would have loved to, of course, but from meeting you, I'm the sort of person that can understand how people are by communicating with them, and I just immediately got what you were talking about, and I made some studies of my own and tried some things on people with varying degrees of success, and some of them very successful. You know, a woman, she fell off a bicycle and cracked some vertebrae. Didn't break anything, but it was very painful, and I found a frequency that allowed her to. She said, "This is like being on a pre-med." It just totally anesthetized that pain there. And another woman, more recently, had been poisoned with arsenic. And, I found a frequency with her that, she immediately, I mean, the second I switched it on, she said, "Wow, I can feel this leaving my body." She could feel, all of this disturbance leaving her cells and draining away. It took her about 18 months to actually lose the whole stuff from her body, but she'd been attacked by a poisoner.
Arsenic is in lima beans, so we can use arsenic up in a natural way. But after the show, I'll tell you how to put the frequencies together to get rid of a toxin like that. But I believe we can have dominion over our body by using these frequencies. And whether it's music, the best thing is our own voice. And listening to what I call the sound current or the signature sound. And you can do this every day and clear your body. It's on our site, and I just redid it for Zen Magazine. If you can moan, you can tone. And it shows you, it's a reading thing, so it tells you how to listen to your own sounds, to clear your own body, and tells you how to do that successfully. My goal is that nobody ever needs what I have. They can do it on their own, but for a newborn or somebody in a coma or somebody like that, we can use this technology to give them back their frequencies and train their brain so that their body begins to do what it ought to do. And I think that's the way it was from the beginning. And somewhere we lost.
Yes. Yes. And this is where a question from the chat room comes in. This is very opportune. Is that this is Tracy asking, what does Shari think about our genetic PTSD, the things that have been passed down that are still affecting them? So like ancient problems that, you know, are probably violence and weirdness that get passed down in families, get passed on as PTSD.
Well, we are looking at the PTSD genes, and we will have those available for people in the database. So yes, that family stuff comes down through. But I'll tell a short story on myself here. My father was a bigamist, and he had two families going at once in two different cities. And I would never speak up for myself. If somebody wanted to steal my homework or whatever, I just suddenly gave it to him and let him. And I was getting run over tremendously in my office, in trying to give away and run a company. And not now, because we have a great crew, but people would come to me and just demand bizarre things that you wouldn't say to your boss. I'm taking off tomorrow and you're going to pay me, right? Okay. And I thought, this got to stop. And I went into this meditation of listening to the sound, and I said, I want to be released from this. Show me what's going on. And in computers, you can tell how long ago this, there used to be a D-shaped attachment, and I found one of those at the base of my spine, and I unplugged it because it was yellow. And to me, yellow is cowardliness with words. So I unplugged it, and I followed it back, and I followed it back to my father, who was a coward. Anybody that has two families, do I need to shut up?
Don't go away. Hold that thought. We'll talk about your yellow Ethernet cord. Don't go away. Please join us back on the other side of this break. Welcome back to Journeys with JP. And today, my guest is Shari Edwards. And we were talking, where's that little message box? We were talking just before you, just before we went to the break. We were talking that you were looking at yourself, in a meditation, and you saw a D socket. You know, like you have, like you used to like you connect a computer monitor with. And that had a yellow cable. And the cable, you said, led to your father. So do you want to take us away from that? Are you muted? Sorry. Is your mic muted?
Hello?
There you go. Are you?
Okay, I was trying to hook up my headphones.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
Okay. This is in response to the lady's questions about genetics with all of this. So I did not know my father because I was over here in this other family and they adopted me out when the police came, you know, a bunch of junk. Anyway, I followed this to his back and I unplugged it and I plugged the two D cables into themselves and slung them off into the universe because right I'm in this meditation. And from there slowly learned to be courageous and ask for what's for the benefit of all concerned, not just one selfish person. And selfish people began to fall away from me. And they didn't like it that I wouldn't give them any and everything that I had, because that was my modus operandi up to that point. Especially my family fell away from me because they could come to me for anything and I'd give it to them. And I just became this sucker to them. And I had to retrain the people around me. But at the same time, I was taken away from my mother at a very, very early age. Her birthday is June 10th, and that represents a D note that deals with amylase, or the digestion of carbohydrates. And I've had that problem all my life. And once I played her the birthday, played me the birthday note of June 10th, there was such a satisfaction in me because genetically that mother sound was missing. And
that's awesome.
As I grew up, I married a man that had the same birthday, years apart, but had the same birthday as my biological father, and I didn't know it. So I think from a spiritual genetics, and I believe in something called electromagnetic genetics, and if we have time, we can get into that.
I'd love to.
But I also think that our DNA, we have patterned the songs that we write, the stories, all of this about our own DNA and how all of those components of the DNA have to work together to give us energy or to detox the body. We have a computer program called Mapping where we look at all of these different components of the DNA and where it began to break down in a particular body. There's free classes about this. It's on our site, soundhealthoptions.com, under Happy Hour. There's all kinds of free classes there. And I wanted to talk about this free class a bit because I've been trying to get this out to the public for about a month, and I got some emails and some people called me. Why are you doing this? This is stupid. You could sell this to people. You're just dumb. You don't have any economic sense. You know, I got that one. And then another one was, what's wrong with this? You're giving it away. There must be something wrong with it. Is there something hidden? What kind of vicious witch are you? I'm not coming to anything that you do because it has to be a trap. You know, people, this is a two-day class with software that we sell for $1,200. It's online. And I want to say to this guy, just take what I offer. There is one little glitch, and that I didn't have enough money to repay somebody to make another form that you fill out online when you go to sign up for this. So just put all zeros in that credit card stuff or just mark it through. This doesn't cost a thing. Well, that's a lie. You have to buy a microphone. And I wish I had money to pass those out by the hundreds.
They're not that expensive, really, compared with the health benefits. I mean, compare it with like some drugs for a 3 months or something like that. A microphone is nothing compared to that.
Well, there's some about $16. The one that we use now is called a Go Mic from Samson, and they can go right to our site and look it up or go to Amazon. It's Samson Go Mic, which is what we're broadcasting on right here. We want everybody to have this class to help their own people. We think veterans might have some trouble doing this on their own because they're already depressed and upset. So that's why we invited family and friends and any agency working with PTSD. And the software is there. They'll be given nutrition software, muscles, PTSD. I think they have one or two more that they could choose from, adrenal burnout. But we want to help not only these 500,000 guys coming back, but like the lady was asking the question, the genetic part of this, there is absolutely genetic PTSD. They're called nucleotides. And just going back and looking, you could just look at Google, the role of genes in family and trauma exposure and post-traumatic stress disorder. It's all here, and it tells us what genes to look at. We're also looking at vaccinations because we think that's a big part of it. And this hypervigilance is what's getting to people. And we've traced it down to norepinephrine. When you have to stay awake and alert, the norepinephrine comes into play. So we're going to teach people how to help, how to make these management reports. And just yesterday, we got somebody to make some nutrients for these guys. So if they need this, 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 and this, they can go get these nutrients. We're looking for somebody to even sponsor that, so those can be free.
There's got to be a way of sourcing some very generic, because what you're talking about is nothing special. You know, if you're talking this body needs more potassium, you know, which comes in, you know, whatever means it does of the particular cell source, rather than having a branded product, they're very generic and obviously very just, you know, straight chemicals, aren't they?
Well, if people want to grab a pen or something to write down, niacin, B3, that's from grains and things, calcium, cheeses, milk, orange juice, linolenic acid from fish oils, and zinc. What is zinc from? Peanuts. So you can look all this up on the internet and eat those foods. Progesterone might be a little difficult to find, but it's the same frequency as marijuana. But there's places on the internet where you can buy progesterone. Choline from eggs, magnesium from nuts, and B5, pantothenic acid. I don't know where pantothenic acid is from, but you could easily look it up and add those things to the diet. But the problem is they're not being able to process it. Their body has been in a state of such hypervigilance for months, and sometimes, you know, if it's a genetic thing, it's years. So we need to retrain the adrenals to calm down and to look at corticotropin releasing hormones and dopamine and serotonin and a lot of these other things that get stuck on open. So they can't go buy these at the local drugstore. They can't buy a norepinephrine receptor or something that would inhibit it. But we can do it with frequency because we found out that everything is a frequency. And if we teach people to provide this either through food or even muscles have connections, like the zinc, it's the muscle underneath the thumb, that great big glob underneath the thumb, that's the zinc. And how can you tell if you have low zinc? You begin to lose your sense of smell when zinc is low. So there's things to look at and how to tell when these things are low. For magnesium and calcium and potassium, those are muscle cramps. So we're going to look at how to tell just based on some paper and pencil test what's going on. But this is, it's real. Somebody is stepping up, and it's time. I love Star Trek. And when well, think about the replicator. Earl Grey T. Hot, says Captain Picard. That shows that everything's free. I don't know what their money system is or anything. I'm trying to write myself a note. At the same time. But then you have the Ferengi come along, and that to me represents the greed of mankind, because they all the time want gold. Well, why couldn't they step up to this replicator and say, you know, make me some gold?
Exactly. That's an interesting thing. But that's technology.
Yes.
That's what, when they trade technologies. And we know that the Ferengi, they got the holographic technology because they could turn it into porn. Basically, that was their motivation. Listen, we've got a caller from the chat room. Would you like to field the call from Tracy?
Sure.
Okay, so let's bring her in. And she was the one who asked the genetic thing, because it was the subject of her show this afternoon, about First Nations. And the sort of multi-generational PTSD that's been done to the First Nations as a people. So, welcome, Tracy. How are you doing?
I'm good. I just muted my microphone. Sorry.
Come closer.
Yeah. If it's not good, I can go to the other room. Put
that's
on
better.
My headset.
That's better. Really good. You're good.
Okay. Just want to say I love the show. I've used serious stuff. I'm saving up for the full package because we're hearing negative things, and I'm so shocked because we have people coming in trying to sell everything. But what Sherry's doing is using your own self to help yourself with frequency and vibration, which we've all talked about. Why is this such a big deal? Why is this something that people are fighting against? This is perfection, as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you. That is absolutely awesome. I want to listen to this show that you did on First Nation. And if you could send me a link through JP, that would be great.
I'll send you what I did today, because we were just talking about this stuff.
I'm hoping. I'm hoping that you can come to this 2-day free class.
Oh, yeah, I'm coming. 100%.
We're going to put it in a kit. We're going to edit it and put it in a kit. Have you taken any of our other classes?
Yeah, I've taken several of your classes. I'm on your email list, so I'm there all the time.
Could you just sort of describe them for people who may not know what we're trying to say?
Well, in general, what they do, guys, is Sherry talks about feelings. So we're breaking feelings down to sound. That's what she's doing. And sound, and we've all talked about vibrations in many, many different ways, that it's, instead of looking outside, and I'm so glad you meant that, we're looking inside. Instead of going out and waving a sign and jumping up and down, she's saying, look inside, fix yourself. Your sound will change everyone who talks to you. It may sound weird, but our vibrations resonate with everyone. This is proven. This is why people who don't even believe in this stuff can walk into someone's house and say they feel an atmosphere. What is an atmosphere? There is no atmosphere. You're feeling the vibrations of that house. So you know on a basic level, this stuff is real.
And we're not asking people, and we're not asking people to change their voices. We're asking them to change their brain frequencies, but we're doing that artificially. We're entraining it with sound and music. And we're giving people the information of what should be changed, what their diet should be like, what muscles should they stimulate if they don't have this receptor open. Here's a for instance that we just did a thing on Parkinson's. Parkinson's people can't turn over in bed very well. But if you take one of the muscles in the stomach that allows you to turn over easily and you put the correct formula for that in, it creates the dopamine that people need. So the body is so redundant, we're going to give you all these different ways to get to the root cause of where this PTSD is coming from, whether it's genetic or nutritional or muscles or emotions or Fukushima or whatever. That's what we do in class. We stick a microphone under your mouth. We take a 30-second sample. We'll be teaching you to do all of this. And there's a preview. If you go to our site, soundhealthoptions.com, go to classes, go to 2-day technician, that's the free one, and down at the bottom there is a preview so you can prepare yourself for this class, but you must pre-register because we won't know who to send the invitation to, but they're all interactive and getting you to do it. You know, this is just my way of not having to do so much work. If I can get you guys to see these 500,000 people, I won't have to. So I'm doing this.
It's an impossibility, and it's the only way you can do it. So you're being forced to share your knowledge. That's really good. Thank you.
I'd like to hear it. No forced about it. I would love to do it and just give it away to everybody. But
you need help. You need help. We all need help. Something you said earlier, Sherry, I wanted to bring up because it's so cool. We've done samples, you and I, even live on air with JP, where I've sent you clips from my shows. And I just realized today, because of something you said, why I do that, most of my shows are relatively monotone. And I speak in deep. And I realize I'm doing the mummy sound. I'm trying to make people feel safe. And normally, when people hear me, they say that my voice is relaxing and soothing, and it's because I have the frequency that Sherry just told you about. I am giving you the mommy and the hugs and something. I'm giving you safety, and that's what people feel, and they feel it naturally. So she just proved what she does is real.
Those notes of D also say, I can see your side of things. I understand your side of things. Let's come to a meeting of the mind. So each one of those notes and how people speak, you go back to Bill Clinton, he had the note of D missing. And unfortunately, I taught some people how to manage a soundboard. So they pumped in the note of D. But when you listen to him on the street, that note of D is missing. That's why many mothers, many mothering personalities loved Bill Clinton, because they needed his D. So even politics, not only radio shows and interactions and communications and even with our children, it's all about frequency. We could say frequency is dot, dot, dot. Because when you get to the basis, it's everything. Everything comes to the body by way of a frequency and an octave. If you are looking at the eyes, that's trillions of cycles per second. And so the brain says, oh, I received something in that range, like JP was talking about, the ranges of different octaves. Hearing, your ears, 14 cycles up to about 14,000 cycles per second. The ear changes it to electrical, chemical energy, sends it to the brain, and says, I received some auditory input. We've just broken the codes. We know what layer to do medications. We know what layer to do muscles. We know what layer to do nutrition. And that's what this two-day course is about. I know there's going to be some people turned away. So we're going to edit this and put it back out as a kit, because I'm also looking for instructors that can take these kits to communities and teach people to do it. And we want to do it on every subject. My goal is to take healthcare and put it back in your hands, because that's where it belongs.
That's my plan, Sherry. I'm going to join you in this. I'm saving up to join you in this, because this is what people really need. And they can do it themselves. And it's so free, you know. So I'm grateful and very excited. So I'm signing up myself.
I am thankful for your input to let people know, because we come on the shows and some people don't understand that we're running a nonprofit research center, that we're looking for how frequency influences health and psychology, and sometimes with, especially with JP, we just get so excited about the weather or whatever else, we just jump in with both feet, and we really don't explain where we're coming from, and that this is an international organization that wants to hand people their health in a handbasket. You know, esoterically hand it to them by, this is how you do your sounds, and that's where JP comes in, and here's sounds, and here's all of these different layers and chords and music and sensitivities to different bands. It's all here in one way or the other. And there's enough sick people to go around. We all can be a part of the healing. And that's kind of what I want to see. But I'm very prejudiced in how I want to see it done. I want to see it done so that nobody ever knows what I do. That they can do it from inside themselves.
So many people are sick and suffering and looking for answers. And I truly believe this is an answer here. This is an answer. JP does a show. I do a show. Many people are doing shows, but we're still talking about the same thing. You know, I talked today about, you know, when you look at someone, you can feel the warmth in their voice, if there's warmth or not. You can look in their eyes and see warmth. Warmth is a color, and warmth is a sound. It's not definable, but you know it's there. So we're all talking about the same things, and I can't wait to work with you, and so we can do it together, and I want to have you on my show too, so.
I love it. I think everybody gives off a signature sound from their ear, And I think that's how we communicate, really. The words are there, and the frequencies are interfering with this pattern that's coming out of the ear, and that's where we glean meaning. But I think privacy is really illusion. We know all this stuff. We just don't know how to trust it. So that's the underlying issue of what we teach for people. To use the computer to trust what you're hearing.
I think one of the good things about the computer and all of this technology that we're getting is that we're able to read frequencies in bands that we can't see or experience. So, for instance, we can now detect ultrasonics and hear various things. We can see ultraviolets with CCD cameras. We can see infrareds with CCD cameras. We've got transducers that can pick up things that our natural ear, eyes, things can't pick up. So we're kind of enhanced technologically with that. Have you worked in any of those beyond the visible, beyond the audio, and discovered any information there, or do you generally exclude it from your data?
Oh, what a great question. We did some studies for Wright-Patterson Air Force Base with seeing if we could dehydrate vegetables with sound. And they used a laser, a potato, I can't remember the vegetables, three of them that they used, tomato, potato, and carrot, I think. And when we beamed a laser at the vegetables, they kind of rotted. But when we sang them the sounds coming from my voice, they dehydrated. So we didn't carry that any further, but it should be a great way to process foods. But it's the difference in that my voice is analog and has different patterns in it. The patterns in my voice are not human patterns. They're sort of like dolphin patterns of sound. I give you a quick story, and then I have a much more important thing to say here. Somebody sent me a picture of their cat and said, my cat is just not doing well. We don't know what's wrong. The vet can't find anything. So I did the frequency, and I did it with my own voice. And inside the wave file of the cat that I sang was a big, lumpy-looking snake thing. And I thought, well, maybe it's got some kind of parasite or something. And she took the cat back to the vet and showed the vet the picture, and the cat was constipated.
Oh, you saw the big snake of his long. Okay. Wow.
But I didn't know what it meant. I only knew that my voice created the picture of what was going on in somebody's body.
That's right. Isn't it the case? I don't know if it was one of your stories that you had sounds of dolphins, and when you looked at the trace that the dolphin created when you record the wave, as you see, you know, you edit wave files, you see these traces, that they actually look like dolphins. Is that right?
Yes, that's in one of our introductory things. I think that's in the free video that's under a secret stash. It's under downloads. There's a secret stash, and you see some of these, they're free videos. There's some of the doctors that work with us, but we only tell this to special people so they can download all that stuff for free. But
okay,
some
just
guy,
you and me.
Yeah. Some guy smashed his thumb, and there was his thumb in the vocal print. Bells, when they tell me to think about something. And one of the things, or how the government got involved, is these pictures that I make with my voice are the same matrix pictures of all of this information coming from outer space. And so we wrote an article about that too. So either I'm an alien or just some kind of mutant. There is something called a sacculus that's been activated in my ear at a near drowning experience when I was really about 5 years old, really small. And so this is a piece that dolphins have, so they can tell which way is up when they're underwater, and mine's activated. has a cupola that is sort of like the seashell round and round kind of bone. That is constructed differently. So I hear sounds from people and animals and trees and carrots and can't hear plastic, though. I've never been able to hear plastic.
Very interesting.
That's how all of this started. And there's been a book written about it, Sound Secrets, by Jill Madsen, who's going to be on your show in a few days, I think.
Right now.
Is she going right now?
Right now. You just invoked her just by thinking about that.
Awesome. Well, she can tell you more of an explanation because she's an expert on ancient sounds, and she's looked at what we do and sort of what we computerized it to make it available, and she explains it in ancient terms in a way that makes me weep, and I'm not an emotional person. It explains why I'm on the planet.
Gary. You're a big softy. So, Jill, welcome.
Welcome.
Sweetheart. Hello. How are you doing? So, you're an expert on this stuff. So, how about spending the next half hour blowing Shari and me away?
You're so kind. I'll certainly. I guess what was exciting is I spent 45 years reaching
Jill. Jill, excuse me.
Yeah.
Is it possible you could sit a little closer to your microphone? Because it's like you're quite far away. Or shall I call you on the telephone?
Okay.
That's a lot better. Thanks. On you go.
Anyway, spent about 25 years. I'm such an reading ancient stuff, antiquity. And I realized self about mystic a lot of psychic skills myself.
And I'm only hearing about every other sound. She's like underwater. Is
yeah.
It me?
Yeah. Jill, can we call you back a second?
Oh. Please, that would be great.
Yeah, it's let's just do that and do this.
Jill is this little pixie elf kind of person. I met her years and years ago while you're calling her off talk. She walked up to me at a big conference and she says, I'm going to write a book about you. And several people have said that and nothing, you know. Oh, that's great. And so I talked to her and she has this elfin energy that I love. It's like out of the Lord of the Rings kind of movies kind of energy. Very open, very heartfelt. Very caring about other people. Well, a couple of months later, she sent me the book, and it was like 400 pages. And nobody had ever been able to capture what we really did from that esoteric perspective and make it sound sane. And Jill was very able to do that. Do we have her back on the line?
Let's see. Jill, how are we doing?
Am I doing any better?
Oh, that's a lot better. That's a lot better.
Yes.
Okay. Ancient frequency healing techniques. And what you've been studying. So tell us all about it.
Okay. Well, saw the world in terms of vibration. Like everything was kind of like today we see the world through the eyes of chemistry. And they saw it all interaction, which means that way that Shari perceives it, because she hears things, she hears the waves, wave world, and therefore on science of bioacoustics. But in ancient times, they used sound like a tuba. And in the real ancient lore stuff, where, you know, they're talking about 50,000 years ago, and is it accurate? Well, gosh, I don't. There's stories all over the world, and they or weapons. It definitely was used for health, spirituality, and telepathics much of the time, so that, you know, they didn't even need to really use sound to communicate. It was more like, and because I have a thought when I read antiquity, I think of other historians might understand. I might understand more of the deeper meaning or what they're trying to say, they see of ways and not like physicality.
I wish I could hear you a bit better. As soon as you start talking, it starts going a bit too lally. Shari, are you still, is your mic still live?
Mm-hmm.
It just sounds like you're a long way away from the mic and.
Maybe I'm
well, her words are cutting off too.
Yeah.
Why don't you just knock me off the air, JP, and so you guys can hear Jill better?
Okay, let's see if that works. Okay. So Jill, how did you come across, it was very, let's try without Shari. Go ahead, please.
Try again. Do you want me to answer the same question?
You do seem to be coming through a lot better now. So, if you'd like to, if you could sort of bring us back up to speed.
Sure. Ancient times, they didn't, through the eyes of chemistry and biology, see the world physically. They saw the world in terms of waves. And they believed that in order to learn anything, any university, for
Jill, I'm very sorry. We haven't got a good line on this. Is it possible I can call you on the phone? And or maybe we should just go back to plan A and speak next week, and I'll make sure that I've got a good connection with you. I think I heard an incredible gift to the world. Jill, thank you. We'll join you next week, and until then, God bless you, and I'll catch you soon, and we'll catch up during the week and make sure that we got a good line between us. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
So let's just bring Shari back in there, and no, where is she? right, okay, so let's add the people to this call. There we go. Thank you very much. Let's see. Shari, are you back with us?
I'm back. I was trying to listen online.
It was very difficult. It was a very subterranean line. I don't know. Maybe it was going under the ocean or something. I don't know. But we couldn't make out what Jill was saying. So we'll. So you were saying, Jill Madsen related your stuff to ancient stuff. So we've got a kind of key into that, and we'll speak to her next week.
Can you talk a minute while I run and get a cup of tea?
I can talk a minute while you run and get a cup of tea. I can talk about tea, in fact. I'll just moan. I'll have my weekly moan about things. Things going on in my weird little world. I've had an outbreak. You know, I had an outbreak of flies a few months ago. Well, this week I've had an outbreak of enormous flies. They're like jumbo jets. In fact, they're more like kind of these old 1940s military aircraft that are still flying around today, like the Hercules and things like that. They're great big bumbly things, and they appear from nowhere, and where they end up is in my tea.
And it's a very frustrating thing because there's nothing worse than the taste of a blue bottle in your mouth having drunk a tea that's had a blue bottle land in it that you didn't notice.
Yuck.
It's utterly gross, I have to say. I'm trying to think of solutions. A little net might help, a little net cover for the cup or something. But they're just things that they've sent to annoy me, really. They're just annoying. They seem to have no evolutionary purpose. So, Shari Edwards, I welcome you back. You have a cup of tea?
Yes. We're looking for somebody who wants to sponsor research about that. If we can get the pheromones, we've done it with mosquitoes already, but if we get the pheromones of the bug, we could put that frequency in your space, and the bugs, we hope, would just go away. It happens with mosquitoes. But we wrote to Bill Gates about all of this, and he just was not interested, because he found online that I was anti-vaccination, and they didn't want to hear from people like me.
The Gates Foundation, yes, the gatekeepers.
Gatekeepers, that's a good way to put it. But we got a letter from them saying that they just didn't want to hear anything we had to say. But vaccinations are also a frequency, so why not test these kids before you give them the vaccination as a preventive measure? That just seems logical to do. And in looking at Jill's work and how this concrete thing that she has put together and how it moves right up into ancient, or from ancient to computer technology, think about the ancient Templars. They were a sect of the Christian church, the Catholic church, and they were supposed to keep everybody safe and healthy, whether it was a travel, a trip, whether it was they came down with the flu or whatever. They became so rich and so powerful that the king didn't want them around. And so what Jill writes about in some parts of this is how they instilled this healing technology into the genes of some of their followers, because King Philip was killing them all off and roasting them alive and making them recant, and they've now apologized, you know, but what good is that after so many years? It was jealousy and greed all mixed up with God and living a life. So she writes about how the Templars and how music is in everything and in flower essences. And she's has taken our courses, and she now writes music that incorporates the sound of the Bach flower remedies, for instance, based on all of this ancient technology. There's another woman that wrote a book called Sylvia Franck, F-R-A-N-K-E, and she wrote it about the Tree of Life and Holy Grail. And somebody sent me this book and said, "You're in it," and I didn't know who this lady was. And they said, "Look on page blah, blah, blah," and there it was. Shari Edwards is a modern keeper of the Holy Grail. That meant that I somehow, down through my genetics, or just picked it out of the ethers, or through mutations or whatever, somehow I was tapped into the stream of consciousness that would take this idea of frequency and healing and elevate it to the masses.
Yes, well, for the truth.
I stood there in an absolute stupor, because there are sometimes when doctors would come in and ask me questions, and I would think, "Oh my God, I don't know that answer." But all of a sudden, I'm over there in a corner watching my mouth and listening to me answer a question that I didn't have any knowledge about. And so once I got out of that strange state, I went and wrote it down and checked it out. And sure enough, it was true. But I had just thought, because I could do that, and I did it when I was having my babies, just went up in the ceiling and watched the body have the baby, I thought I was just schizophrenic. I didn't want people to know that I was kind of nuts. because I hadn't read any of this esoteric literature. Our librarian at our school marked out part of the Monitor and the Merrimack, which is about two submarines that she blacked out stuff about. So we didn't have access to anything esoteric where I was.
You know, Sherry, it's very interesting you relate this story because a couple of weeks ago, and on an ongoing basis, I have a guest, Nancy L. Hopkins, who relates almost the same story. She was a student nurse, and there was a guy, and he had a problem, and it was an emergency, and if they gave him one chemical, it would kill him if he had a particular condition. So they had to figure out whether he had the right condition or not. And she said exactly the same thing. It was if I was looking, I was standing in the corner looking at my mouth, saying these things, and telling them all about diabetes and that this guy had symptoms of diabetes, and she just rattled it off, and she was just a student nurse. She ran away and looked up what she just said, and it was all legit. So this is a common sounding phenomenon of people who have multiple lifetime memories and access to their own cellular memories.
I think this article that we just talked about, If You Can Moan, You Can Tone, I think that tunes people in to this other dimension that's here that we don't have conscious control or knowledge of. And conscious, I mean, it's in the forefront when we think about it. But I think it's available to everybody. Not only do I think these Templars instilled this in a few people, I think they instilled it in everybody's DNA if we could just tap into it. And looking at this article, and it's on our site, I think under info, under articles, If You Can Moan, You Can Tone. Have you ever heard your ears ring?
They do it all the time. Lots of tones.
And when you start listening to it, your body starts to relax, and then you do this cleansing breath, and the next thing you know, you're asleep. But somewhere in between there is a place where you can ask questions and go look at things, and I don't know if it's the astral plane. It's like the gods have all information that ever was, but only by that information being in a human body can it cross-relate and come up with new stuff. But that's kind of a whole nother show in my concept of what God is or isn't. But I think from the ancient stuff that they knew so much more about, we've lost it someplace. And that's what Jill writes about. Her new book coming out, Lost Waves of Time, is about pulling all civilizations together and looking at the commonalities of where all of this came from. Hopefully, we can break the code some places or sometime. We're on our way to breaking the code. There was a recent article, you were talking about infrasound. This was in a big journal of bioinformatics and said they could get rid of shingles pain in 3 days by using infrasound. Well, we already knew how to do this, and we can do it in 2 and 3 minutes. You know, sometimes it takes 15 minutes.
See, so what they're getting a kind of generic thing, but well, you go specifically to the frequency that the person needs in the room, because everybody's unique. Everybody has their own shade.
Right. And we entrain the brain, not just give them infrasound on the skin or around the skin, which is what they were doing, and they were giving it at such high multiples up into the thousands, and then trying low multiples way down, extremely low, but they didn't pay attention to the vocal print, and that's what they needed. Look at the absolute perfect shade every moment. And they're looking at that in terms of this otoacoustic emission that comes out of the ear. Now, one of the problems with that is you have to have the ear there with you, and you have to strap the people down and put this microphone on them and see what's going on. We've done cross studies with this. We can find the same thing within the voice, and we can do that over the air someplace. So you don't have to be with the person. But my ideas about this, there's saying we're going to have this H7N9 thing going on. We decoded all of that, and now we know the antidotes, and we did a show about it and gave those frequency antidotes. So if that pops up in your community, you could just put those frequencies on a speaker someplace and instantly have an antidote. So we can't, our communities won't be threatened anymore by this garbage that they're trying to spread over us with these airplane contrails and putting dominion back in your hands. I think we had it. I think the church didn't have enough control over it, so they tried to hide it and bury it, kill it, so we, the people, didn't have control over their own lives. We had to pay them in order to talk to God. I think anybody can talk to God that they want. You just tap in. I think that universal sound stream, that's the God of all things. I think all frequency, everything in one pot to me is God, and it all sings a song of frequency and balance. But, you know, that's my perception. And that's the beautiful stuff that Jill writes about in her book. The first two chapters are about what we do and how to do it. And I'm almost embarrassed to talk about that, although we give the book away to anybody who takes our class. But I don't feel like that stuff is really mine, although I have to claim it for copyright and whatever, because other people try to claim it and let it go to court. Just the greed of man again, the garbage of mankind. But I think the third chapter in Jill's book is one of the most exciting pieces I've ever read about ancient sounds and what we can do with it and how we lost it and how we're bringing it back. And I think I'm so excited about her new book because it proves I'm sane. And it also proves that anybody else that wants to do this work can. You don't have to have any kind of special talent or singing or whatever, because we've computerized it all and it's just punching buttons and out pops the report. And then it's what we do about it that makes the difference.
Sherry, to me, yes. And I've known you well, 1995 I met you, and I thought you were the most sane person that I'd ever met, and that you were speaking so much sense, it resonated. The tape that I made got reproduced a few times, you know, and every time the quality went down a little bit, but you have a voice that just cuts right through it. And even though all the tonality was missing in some of the mixes, you can still hear what you're saying. It that always cuts through. So, bless your heart. We've got to talk some more. I want to cover this God and greed thing going. Want to hear more about all the things you're doing. You'll come back soon, won't you?
Yes.
Thank you.
Give me a half hour notice.
Yeah, because I'm not going to bother booking in advance anymore. It just hasn't seemed to work so far. So we'll see how it spontaneously goes. I know you have your schedule, so we'll see when our schedules kind of mesh. And it's brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on. Tell people how to get Nano Voice. Tell people how to get Sound Health Option. Tell people how to get on your mailing list so that they can get into the whole, you do these regular shows on a dedicated network, a special network that you have to join in. It's a kind of, you've got a visual display board as well. So, tell everybody.
Sound.
All that stuff.
Sound, as in noise, soundhealthoptions.com. And it's blue and orange just because those are kind of my favorite colors this week. And it says happy hour there. We are doing that tomorrow evening from 6 to 7 Eastern time. And we're going to be doing it on fibromyalgia. We have found that fibromyalgia is a precursor to a signal that the body needs to detox. And usually when there's fibromyalgia, there is a problem with the body getting rid of the dirt and garbage. So we're going to choose guinea pigs from the audience or ask for volunteers and actually show you how to do this and to some of the symptoms. for it. There also are the downloads. So there's downloads there. The bonus software this month is PTSD. There is software there that let you look at your vocal print and tell which frequencies are significant and then what to do with that. There's a secret stash there. That's the videos for people. There's all kinds of classes. Go to, it's the fourth one over, from the left, classes. There's 2-day and 4-day classes. The 2-day class that you see up there is free. That's going to happen the 9th and 10th. If you can join us, no fee. There is limited seating. If you want to come to us and visit us during this class, you are welcome to. We have seating for about 30 people, and we have a larger classroom if we need it. But at the bottom, there's a preview. Check it all out.
Shari Edwards, thank you for joining us on Journeys with JP. Join us next week. Join me on Sunday on Ever Beyond. God bless you all. Good night.